Time to catch up on Kennedy Malloy. And time you checked out the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat with sport suspension, anti-roll bar and AP racing brakes. Play hard. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Yes, hello Australia and welcome to the big Friday edition of Kennedy Malloy, my rolled gold favourite of the week. Here we go. We will be having fun in about 2 hours' time, yes. You lot. Make no mistake. Hello, Jane Kennedy.
Hello, Mick Malloy. How are you going?
Good. Hello, Dangerous Dave.
Hello,
how are you?
Guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Well, and have we rolled out probably the best show of the year
so far?
I think we're going to have a live performance from the Teskey Brothers.
Amazing.
How good are these guys? World domination in the offing. Gadinski's got them under his wing. They are absolute superstars.
And Roll Gold, lovely young guys too, I have to say.
Not too bad. We look forward to hearing them live from our studio and a quick chat as well. Limo's on. Limo, back in town.
Fantastic.
He wants to know if anyone's been shot.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know. Shot with a gun.
Oh, really?
I don't know. He's got a few.
With bullets.
Yeah, real bullets, yeah. No, so we'll get on to that. Week in review. We'll be up and running.
Yes.
What else have we got? Clown of the Week, as always. GoFundMe. Nick's GoFundMe page. Jane.
Excellent. We've got I've got lots to add in clown as well.
So. All right. And we'll go around
Can't
the
wait
grounds.
For that. I'm touching on The Bachelor again as well.
Good Lord. I love a Bachelor update.
It's early signs.
We'll work out if I'm still in the sweep or not.
That could be an issue.
Hey, welcome Australia. We're all a bit tired today. We've been up overnight, as is the tradition, watching the first day of the first test in Edgbaston, Birmingham, one of the ugliest places in the world.
Is it really? I've never been there.
I spent a day in Birmingham that I will never get back.
Really?
Why? Whatever.
It is terrible. It is just the most depressing place I've ever been.
Oh, that's
sort of middle England, isn't it?
Middle of nowhere. It's cold.
Is it the steel mills? Is it?
Yes, it's industrial. It's cold, and England wears that big grey felt hat on a cloudy day.
Yes.
And Birmingham is just quintessentially that.
Right.
So, and Edgbaston, not a great hunting ground for us. Didn't get off to a flyer, but saved on the knock by the heroics.
Yeah. Well, I did a very old fashioned thing, and I had my tranny in bed with me.
Oh, okay, all right.
I know that's very old-fashioned these
days.
Probably to say tranny too, but I meant in my ear.
It wasn't
I had the radio on.
Was it your iPhone with some? With some
BBC one actually. I listened to.
Yeah, all right.
It was and it was very depressing. The first part. Then I went to the ABC, but the first part was a bit of a concern.
Yeah, well, it was until I said the heroics of Steve Smith, the captain who came back and answered emphatically with the bat.
Can we hear some highlights?
We can.
It was pretty memorable, wasn't it?
Here we go.
That's where he likes it, and that's where bowlers get sucked in, because they sometimes see with Smith an LBW waiting to happen, but he so rarely misses.
Steve Smith goes on to 50. He's worked hard for that. He realises that Denley is bowling slowly, and Steve Smith backs himself to get to it before it lands. Tossed high and put away. Gone up and over. Beautifully struck by Steve Smith.
Through the covers, Steve Smith is back. His first test back after the ban, and its normal service resumes. With others falling around him, he has been defiant as ever. 100 number 24.
And you can see there, meant a lot to him out of the game for a period of time. Back there, first test match back, makes 100, an emotional one for him too.
Shot, straight as you like. But when he connects, it's generally out the middle of the bat, and that's 250 up for Australia. He goes again, and he'll find the gap again.
Smith and swings away into the crowd. That's his second six. Bowled in this time. And that ends a remarkable innings from Steve Smith. 144.
Was it ever?
Jeez, what a knock.
The White Knight rides in. When he's got his eye in, he sees it the size of a beach ball.
Unbelievable.
You know,
good to watch.
They're all falling around him, and you go, he's not going anywhere. So the papers, Jane, have had a field day in England.
They have.
Sun Sport should have banned him for life.
Oh, God, of course.
Where are we?
He did pay his dues, didn't he?
I can handle rough stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Smith draws a line in the sand. They're not going to let this go away anytime soon.
They are never
going
to let that go.
Never boo a champ. That's all you can say. He came out and answered it emphatically.
What do you think about the numbers on the back and the names?
I can't stand it. I think it's terrible, and I don't know why they do it. And
almost distracting.
I'll tell you this. If you need the name and a number on the back of a test player, to let you know who he is, you're in trouble.
Yeah,
you have a really crap test team.
That's right.
Because I can name virtually every player of every test
team, shape of body,
over every test series in Australian history. Yep. But I need to know all of a sudden. They don't have him on the scoreboard. So it doesn't correspond to anything.
You don't get
to go, who's number four? How many runs has 49 made on that?
Clear as a bell. I mean, there's only people batting.
It's really silly stuff. I don't know why they're persevering with it.
And it wasn't even mixed reaction last night on Twitter. It was going off from, you know, Adam Gilley, everyone's just gone, but forget it, will you?
Yeah, no good. Now, you were taken, I believe, with some of Warnie's banter.
Well, I think we've got a bit of Warnie, haven't we?
We've got a bit of Warnie.
He's always great value.
Well, Warnie's got one of the great cricket minds.
Yeah.
But when he doesn't turn, when his attention span wanders,
I find him
still incredibly amusing.
Exactly.
The pie and chips looks good. There's the banana. Look, that's Steve Smith mask. Oh, that's cruel, isn't it? It really is. Peter Siddle's banana out there. Maybe he might need one soon if he keeps batting a bit longer. He might ask for that one in the crowd.
Is he still on the bananas?
Apparently so, Bumble. Jeez, I'm not sure about the waist there. There's a bit extra spare tyre around the waist there, Bumble.
Oh, you're looking trim now, aren't you, mate?
Yeah, I am now.
Yeah.
I was a bit more like that when I played. Thanks, boys. Looking good. Yeah, pretend you got the stump over your head. So stand up, all of you, and pretend you got the stump over your head.
There you go, yeah.
Nice, boys. That's it.
And it was an interesting day's cricket. It wasn't like there was nothing happening.
That's right. A lot going on.
But the only other thing that we should mention quickly, the umpires had a shocker. You may as well get rid of them now because they're just relying on the DRS and the decision.
And
especially
the
decision they made were wrong. Keep booing, I say. All right, Jane Kennedy, when we get back, are you up for it?
Everybody.
Clown of the week.
I'm up for it.
We're here thanks to HSV and the new Series 2 HSV Sports Cat. Play hard.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
Limo later, the Teske brothers are going to play for us soon,
Dave.
But here it is.
There are many contenders.
Hey, I'm the leader, bro.
Please explain.
I'm let you finish.
Oh, good for you.
But it can't always be this guy.
You are fake news.
Who will be?
He was a famous clown.
Clown of the week.
All right, let's get things going. Do you want to kick off Jane Kennedy?
I do because it's Bachelor Week and amazing things always happen in Bachelor Week.
Sure.
There was intruders last night.
Oh, any hotties?
There's a few hotties.
Thank you. Finally.
They've only been in for one night and they've already got intruders in there and it just caused quite a fracas.
Good stuff.
One of the things that people
How's Agnew? How's he going?
He's going well. We like him.
It's the worst name ever for a bachelor.
Don't say
bachelor.
That. He didn't like it when you...
Sounds like a sister. Get on your scrotum.
He did not like it when you had a go at him. He hated when you got stuck
there. Yeah, well, he felt threatened.
He did.
He didn't realise he was dealing with the guy who came fifth in the radio.
That's true.
Awards.
Hang on. There's your first clown. Take Five magazine
Take five
for not
magazine.
Making
you
number one.
Mm. I should be up the top.
Done.
All right.
You should be.
All right, okay. So what happened last night?
Well, last night in the rose ceremony itself, there was 25 girls up on the stage.
Right.
Because there's so many now and there's one bloke.
Okay.
But there was one girl missing, Varku, who's made a bit of a impression on people.
Yeah.
She just was missing. Everybody goes,
Varku.
Where the hell's she gone?
Yeah,
she wasn't up there. Apparently she had conjunctivitis and he gave the rose to her off camera.
Really? I didn't even notice she wasn't there. Varku.
No, she wasn't
there. That's yellow jaundiced eyes, is it?
Yeah, it's very contagious.
It's like a bowler.
Yeah, goopy eye.
Pretty much like a bowler.
Good if that went through the house.
Yes. Okay, now one of the things is...
It sounds like a zombie movie. You've got all the bachelorettes wandering around.
They are banning the word bitch around a lot. They're very nasty girls, I think, this is happening. But one of the major things that happened, and hooray for diversity in the bachelor house, because who would have thought... They have one girl who's Persian in there, and that sounds very exotic. But what happens when you have...
Well, what Persian? What's it? Iranian? Are we talking?
Well,
is it Iranian? Where's Persia?
Where's Persia?
Well, Persia's an old name, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't think it exists anymore. Give me a globe.
They talk Farsi. That's the language, yeah.
Really?
It's a very beautiful language. Anyway, so they've got this beautiful Persian girl in there. But what happens? They send in another Persian. And they all go off the rails. Have a listen to the reaction when they found out this bird's Persian too.
I'm back.
Danush.
Danush?
Danush.
Danush.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Danush.
So I've got a little something for you.
Sensational.
I'm Persian, so I I would give you something to show you where I'm from.
Okay.
So I got some Persian nougat.
Watching this girl, black hair, tan skin, in her red dress, slowly it starts to kick in.
There we go.
Oh my God! She's Persian!
She's Persian.
So, what are the chances? Two Persians.
Apparently you can have too many Persians in a house.
Oh, was there anyone there from Siam?
She did get kicked out, though. Danush. She went.
Danush. She sounds like a very fine dip.
She does, doesn't sound it? Like,
past
like,
the Danush.
And next to the Homish. Sorry.
I'm sure we've just been racist.
I'm pretty sure we've been pretty racist
sure.
there.
And what are the Persians like?
Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Well,
gorgeous.
That's my understanding.
Hubba hubba.
Yeah.
The bachelorettes that were sent home last night, one is yours, Dave.
Oh, no, which one? Sam or yep. Monique?
Sam. And I got another one sent home, I think, Tash.
Jeez, they were culling them quick last night too, weren't they?
Were they ever? Jeez. All right, we better move on, guys.
Yes.
There's plenty more to clown. George Colombaris, of course, has had a big week. Clown him. Did his first hit out with Lee Sales for an interview. Here's a grab from that interview.
I love the people that have worked for me, and I don't want them to suffer right now. Don't punish my people. Just know when you come into one of our restaurants, my people are getting paid and paid correctly.
Well, that's one side of the story. The other side of the story was one of those workers who was on John Fain this week who had this in response.
I mean, last night was just more of the same. I don't really know what he was talking about. I don't recognise the timeline. I don't recognise any readiness to support his staff. And I haven't been paid.
How much are you owed?
A few thousand dollars. And I'm only like, I mean, I've got really good friends, ex-colleagues I was speaking to yesterday. Also, they haven't been back paid. Some of them not even contacted or responding to their emails. So this is just, like, disingenuous at best.
If you go on telly and you tell people that you've paid your staff, you want to make sure you've paid your staff.
But why would he do that?
I don't know. Maybe.
Or why did they advise him to go on if that wasn't the case?
Well, I don't know. But as you point out, they probably should have had someone on 7:30 report. Like that girl to offer her side of the story.
Well, there were a lot of people that you could have found out. There was a lot of people that were owed.
Anyway, I hope that's not the case, and those people need to be paid. 133353, give us a call. Clown of the Week, our phone lines are up and running.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy.
Mick's GoFundMe a little later. We've got the Teskey Brothers live, Limo as well. Ha, big Friday show. This is
big
Kennedy
Friday.
Malloy.
Massive show. $500 to give away for GoFundMe. Yeah. Gee, we've had some good ideas. It's like a really kind of drug-fueled shark tank.
Yeah, I agree. No Janine Alice on this one.
Hey, look at Lern. Yeah. She's mucking around down the shallow end of the pool. We'll get onto that, but first let's clean up some business. With Clown of the Week, Claire wants to make a statement straight off the top. Claire, what is it?
I'd like Jane to ignore what you said about Edgbaston, Birmingham.
Oh, okay. Why is that?
Now, listen, Claire. You're from Birmingham, are you?
I'm from Edgbaston, Birmingham.
Edgbaston, Birmingham. God, well, you got out alive. You're one of the lucky ones. Have you ever gone back? There's no reason to go back, is there?
Yeah, no, I go back regularly, and one of the best games I saw was India versus Pakistan.
There would have been a bit of niggle in that one, I'm guessing. That could have been World War III. Was that in the World Cup or was that just a test match that Pakistan
played? It was a one-dayer.
Good for you.
What do you think about the Poms booing our team still? Oh, well, particularly a couple of players.
I think that's a bit unfair. Let bygones be bygones.
They're all over now. What about your captain? Why doesn't he tell them to stop?
At the end of the day, the ashes belong with us, so it doesn't really matter.
Hey, Claire, careful. Now, Claire, tell me this. If I was going to Birmingham for a day, this will be hilarious, and you were going to chaperone me around, what would you take me to do?
It depends if the supercars are on. If they're on,
the what?
You're there.
What are you talking about? The what? Sea Patrol?
Supercars, the racing.
Oh, the supercars. Oh. No, no, what's in Birmingham?
Don't you have a Ferris wheel
don't
or something?
You, don't, you have a, or don't you have a bridge or something? Where would you take me for a day?
Probably the mailbox.
The mailbox. All right, Claire.
I hope that's a pub.
Claire, yes, indeed.
Thank you, Claire.
Claire has no really ability to promote Birmingham.
She's not the best ambassador.
Doesn't care about it.
I wouldn't put her in charge of tourism for Birmingham. No. Steve, who do you want to clown, mate?
I want to clown the parents that allow their kids to sit for 8 to 10 hours a day practicing that game Fortnite online. These kids are probably illiterate and mute. Admittedly, he won $3 million, but who runs those households? The kids.
Well, I'll tell you this: the bloke won $3.8 million. If my boys want to sit in a dark room and play Fortnite for a week, I expect a return.
Yeah.
Isn't it just the same as if people are doing poker championships in a dark room looking at, you know, people in dark glasses and spending all night playing a stupid game?
Sure.
No, I don't know. I think so. Doesn't really get impressed by that.
Steve.
Sorry, Steve.
She's gone missing in action.
Bye.
She's gone back to play Fortnite. Yeah. Michael's on the line. Michael.
Yeah, g'day, guys. I'd just like to nominate good old Barnaby Joyce.
Barnaby Joyce?
Yeah, can't live off $200,000 a year.
But $211,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, he's got two families, you see. It's very hard for him.
There's some perks in there too, I'd guess. There's probably some free air travel and some living away from home allowances and then a wage. So
you can send some our way.
What do you do, Michael?
I'm earth moving.
Earth moving. And you honest days work every day?
12 hours a day.
Good on you, mate. Too good for you, mate. You're the backbone of this great country, and Barnaby Joyce is a giant knob. Thanks for the call, Mark. Mark, who do you want to clown?
I want to clown the umpire that proposed to his umpire girlfriend in the middle of the oval.
Well, what's offending you about that?
Why is that bad?
Well, she made a bad choice again. She said yes.
She's marrying an umpire. Who would do that?
Well, they're both umpires, so what have their kids got to look forward to?
Well, their kid will be a super umpire. The kid will be a laboratory built to throw the ball in from the boundary line.
Those things are always fraught with danger, though, because that is a very big call to propose to someone in the middle of a ground, and what if she said no?
Yeah.
It's
fraught with danger because what if they break up? They still have to go to an umpire a game together. No one's going to get a free that day.
No.
That'll be very quiet.
That can't be good.
What if she starts seeing a goal umpire behind his back? Well, that would be dumbing down. All right, Mark, I've got time for one more. Tim. Yep. Tim, who's the clown?
How are you, Mick and Jane?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Dangerous.
All right.
I've just come home from work. I'm looking after my stepson's dog, Oscar.
Yeah, okay.
My wife orders the toilet paper in a 40 box online.
Oh, this has got sorbent commercial written all over it.
Yeah. I've just walked in the front gate and there is toilet paper.
Oh, fantastic.
From the front fence to the back fence.
Give him a prize, Dave. Yeah,
tickets to go see Kiss, the End of the Road World Tour.
Tim, what was your first? So the first sign is pulling into the driveway.
What kind of dog is it?
He's a beautiful black staffy. He's a beautiful dog. Oh. Yeah.
He's a beautiful dog with a very clean bottom.
Well, very clean tongue, mate.
So when you come home and you see it, now does he realise at this point he may be in a bit of trouble, or is he happy with his work?
He's still sitting there looking at me a bit funny. And I took a video from the front fence to the back fence and sent it to my wife, who's still at work.
Can you send it to us and we'll post it on our website? Yeah, awesome. That will be fantastic. Yeah. Well, hey, good on you, Tim. Thanks for the call, Tim. Mate.
Thank you, everyone.
That's a good dog.
Great stuff.
All right. Back.
Yeah, Mix GoFundMe right
after call.
This. Kennedy Malloy.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Mix GoFundMe. Mix GoFundMe.
It's up and running. It's open for business. This is, it's like my GoFundMe page. You send me ideas. If I like them, I invest in them.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's sort of show. It's a bit like you're like...
Like The Apprentice.
The Apprentice. Like you're in charge. You're the boss.
No, it's like a really smart Shark Tank.
Okay.
No, it's like if you have a GoFundMe page, don't you understand?
Let me explain
it again.
Okay.
It's called Mix GoFundMe.
Great.
Right? And I fund things. Mm. It's like you ring in and you say, I want to be funded for... And I do it.
Yeah.
So here's an example. Here's last week's winner.
Okay.
Well, I'm an Australian.
aspiring horse rider, but there's only one problem. My horse is dead.
Oh,
and
okay.
I would like you to go fund me $500. So, and then when I become a famous equestrian rider, I'll put your initials, Mick, on my saddle.
Oh, okay. Mickey.
Oh, that's adorable.
How can you resist that?
I've been waiting for nearly 2 years.
Oh, that's terrible. Well, what have you asked your parents? What do they stand on this?
I've been begging, but they say no. I don't have enough money.
Demi wins.
Oh, my God.
Demi, you won the $500 GoFundMe. What are you going to call your horse? Mickey?
I will, yeah.
I did say afterwards, I said I would only invest in a Shetland. That's got to be a Shetland. Right. She needs to be riding a Shetland pony. Hey, can we play? 133353, you need to get on the blower right now. And what about our listener from the previous week, Dave?
Oh, yeah.
This was our first one.
Okay. This
idea's got legs.
Yeah.
I was hoping you could help me fund a setup of roll-on lubrication. So, don't you hate it when you've got to just pause for that moment and run in and wash your hands and then run back to the bedroom?
Okay.
You know?
What the?
Roll-on lube. I can see the blue sky potential. Well done, Sophie.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Put that into R&D, research and development. I'm happy to help out with it.
You're just the man for
the
trial, Mickey.
Wow. This seems like a look. She said there was a lot of things to complain about with it. To rush in and wash your hands and go.
Yeah, Dyson will be wishing they'd got on board early with this one. Okay, so last week we also had the Grant who wanted a throat spray, wanted to build a throat spray that distorts your voice so you can pull a sickie. That nearly won.
That's very clever.
And Demi, and Les who had a Mr. Whippy van, wants a Mr. Whippy van for adults that delivers grog.
Right. That's genius.
That was a bit creepy. I don't mind that. Playing like Van Halen music instead of green sleeves. Damo's on the line. Damo.
Good evening. How are you doing, Mickey?
Good.
The man with the coin, right. Mm. You're quintessential Australian. You support one of our Australian's Bathurst champion, Dave Reynolds, on your radio show.
I love Dave
Reynolds.
He's a true champion.
Yeah.
Yep. True champion. So what I've been working on for a couple of years now is a Bathurst champions project. Now, still living, we have 47 champions living. I have acquired 44 autographs on my project. I have three to go. Two of those gentlemen live overseas, and one of them is Australian and down in Tasmania. So basically, I need a little bit extra to get me over the line because it looks like I'm going to have to get overseas to get the autograph of one Mr. Jackie Ickes. And it will not only be for me, but obviously we can get it on display and then everybody else can actually see because I dare say this is probably the only item that would have so many winners autographed on the items, what I actually have.
Right, it's taking a while.
I have invested a lot of coin into this.
Me too.
Hey, now listen, aren't you a bit old to be collecting signatures? How many would you need? Three.
I need three to go, and two of the gentlemen are overseas. I have good word that one will potentially be in Melbourne at the end of the year, so that's a trip from Newcastle down, so that's going to take coin, but especially I've got to get overseas.
Yeah. Overseas where?
He lives in Belgium.
Oh, Belgium?
Yeah, well, there you go. They've got good waffles.
Well,
go and have a waffle and some chocolate. Write it off.
As you can see, I funded quite a lot myself.
Oh, it's just taking too long. I'm bored now. Thanks, Damo. Sarah.
He's going to have a think about it.
It's a bit brutal, wasn't it? Sarah, you've got a good idea. What you want to? What do you need the funding for?
We need funding for the morning after pill for dogs.
That's good.
That's quite ingenious.
There's been an incident at your place, has there, Sarah?
Oh, today. And I've got photographic evidence. Oh, so I can rub it in the little bastard's face when they pop them out.
Oh, who was it, next door neighbour's
dog? Morning after pill for a dog. Well.
Yeah, no. Well, it's actually, they're both my dogs, but I've got a purebred miniature Roman nose, and I've got a friend of mine who wants to put over her, and my staffie decided that he was going to escape from the house today and go out the back and find my lovely little Roman nose.
I like it, Sarah. As always, though, you'd have to slip that pill in the dog food.
Yeah.
Even the morning after pill has to be slipped in the dog food. Sarah, start. Okay, we'll get back to you. Just one more before we go to the break. Heath, can I go to Heath?
Yeah. G'day, guys.
What's your idea, Heath?
Right, so just imagine it. Mickey's fuel to you. So, you're talking about home delivery fuel. You're on your way home and you go, oh, bloody hell, got to go to the servo.
Yeah.
You get distracted, you forget about it, you get home and you go, no worries, Mickey's going to save me. You get on your Mickey's Fuel to You app, you sign up, you say, I'm going to get a little tanker, to come home and home deliver a tank of fuel for me. I'm going to pay a little extra because there's a premium, of course.
Did you have a petrol Bowser at my house or something? Where am I getting the fuel from?
There's a little petrol tanker that's going to show up outside your house.
I've got a little petrol tanker, like a golf cart petrol tanker.
It's going to come to your home. It's going to come to your work, wherever you need.
Jane, you could have used this a few weeks ago.
I love that. I could use that nearly every second week when I'm around on 2 kilometres.
Am I doing this above board, or am I just siphoning tanks on the way around to your place?
Well, I am from Werribee, but let's not talk about the details.
All right, hold on the line. Yes. We're going to come back. We're going to take a couple more, then announce the winner. 133353, it's hotting up.
It's Mix GoFundMe.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Molloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Molloy.
Yes, the Teskey brothers setting up. They'll be on air soon, live on Kennedy Molloy Limo 2.
We are in the middle of a GoFundMe, GoFundMe, where so many calls.
Yeah,
we do have a clubhouse leader at this stage, which I'd have to say is the morning after pill for
Sarah.
A dog. Yeah. Sarah, you're in the lead. Unless something better pops up. Stephen, what do you want the 500 for?
I need a crown.
Yeah,
we all want to be king and queen, Stephen. Come on.
No, on my tooth.
A crown on your tooth.
Now, this can cost
a lot. It's not for me. It's not for me. It's for my wife.
Yeah, I know that, but I don't like donating money for health reasons. Thanks, Stephen. Jane's on the line. Jane, what's your idea, your big idea? What do you need it for?
I want to make a mat that goes around the toilet so I can see who is weeing on the floor. Is it my husband or my son?
Oh, so it reacts to your personal DNA. So when your DNA hits the mat, it'll turn blue or pink or
that's
orange.
That's ingenious. I want one of those now.
So I'm going to know who's in there. An alarm will go off, but it has to have a jigger that ducks them on the willy to deter them in the future.
Oh, okay. Well, now,
I think you might have gone a bit far.
What about this? If you electrify the mat, so that's when their urine comes in contact with the mat, it sends an electrical charge up the urethra.
Okay.
Whichever one's the easiest.
All right, Jane, she sounds like she's had enough. Mick, Mick, what's your big idea? What's your GoFundMe project?
Yeah, g'day, team. I'd like to create some sort of LED display on the back window of the car for passing messages to ignorant drivers.
Hang on, so on the back, I'm into this.
Yeah.
So I'm behind you in the car.
Yeah.
I do something a bit stupid. All of a sudden on your back windscreen comes up, you're a dick, mate.
Exactly.
You are...
The most you can do is either give a thank you wave or a finger out the window. But...
Or scream to yourself in the car like I do.
Now, do you think this will help? Or...
Two ways, and you can give someone a thank you, but get me out of that.
Could you hit on sexy people?
Actually, you could, yeah.
Well, find me home, babe.
Yes.
I'm hot. Yeah, I'm hot to trot. Would you have a speaker for support? Why wouldn't you have a speaker there as well so you could actually contact them?
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, that's not a bad idea either. Well, that'd have just your phone number.
Phone number?
Oh, this has turned into a dating thing all of a sudden. This has got to be abusive.
No, this is better. Rick, no, Mick, now we're doing automotive Tinder. So you see a hottie in a car... Yeah. And you go bang, and you put up a phone number.
Mm. Yep. Oh. And, you know, if they install the system themselves, they can overtake you with a message on the back saying, oh, that sounds nice, and pass their number. Right.
Well, we'll think about that. What do you think, Mickey?
it's complex. I'm wondering if it'll help or hinder road rage. That's my big...
I don't know. I think it's going
to... By the way, Rick, what's your big idea, mate?
Yeah, get up.
Can't hear you, mate. Speaking of the phone, please.
I'd like to get a patent for a remote control for a kid.
Okay, mate. Can't hear a word you're saying.
Sorry, Rick.
He's saying he wants a remote control with an alarm that you press a button and you can locate it.
So you can find it.
Like a find my remote.
You know what I'm thinking of doing?
What's that?
Like a leg rope on a surfboard?
Yeah.
Hey, getting one of those for my remote.
Your remote. Just drag it around the living room.
Well, just so it's never...
Always there.
It's always attached.
My
I don't know.
God.
Do you have a pocket?
How far can a remote go?
It lives in one never room. Know.
God, you never
know.
It's either down the back of the couch or under the couch. Simple.
The big fat guy who went to hospital complaining of chest pains? Well, they lifted up one of the rolls of fat on his chest.
No, you're kidding.
The remote was under it. He could have used the old
That's not good.
Leg rope.
All right, Mickey, you've got a decision to make here now. You've got $500. It's Mick's GoFundMe. Who's going to get the cash?
It's going to the morning after pill for the dog.
Oh, Sarah.
Yes. Sarah's got the chockies. There you go,
well
Sarah.
Well done, Sarah.
Put it to good use.
Thanks, guys.
We'll tell Dr. Chris Brown.
It'll pay for the vet bills.
All right. Well, some of them. Don't you worry about it. We'll send Dr. Chris Brown over as well. Yeah, we'll throw that in.
You're a legend.
Well done to you, Sarah. Mick's GoFundMe back next week. All right, time for this, guys.
Sam and Josh Teskey grew up in the outskirts of Melbourne and discovered the sounds of American soul and blues through their parents' record collection. In 2008, they teamed up with Liam Gough and Brendan Love to form the Teskey Brothers. 2017 saw the release of the band's self-produced debut album, Half Mile Harvest.
Every time I get up, something come and bring it down.
Capturing international attention with sellout shows around the world.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Teskey. Hot off a tour of the US, today sees the release of their second album, Run Home Slow. Here to perform the track So Caught Up from the new album, please welcome the Teskey Brothers.
There they are. The Teskey Brothers.
Wow.
We're going to join us in the studio right now. Brand new album out today called Run Home Slow. That was the song called So Caught Up. Now, they're touring all around Australia in November. Tickets go on sale this Monday at 9 a.m, then general on sale at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, the 7th of August, playing Sydney, Wollongong, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Fremantle, Margaret River. All the details, teskeybrothers.com. But we've got Josh. And we've got Liam in studio right now. The Teskey Brothers on Kennedy Malloy.
How are we, guys?
Good to be back, guys. Thanks for having us. Thanks for having us.
I think the first time you played for me was back on the breakfast show, was it?
That's right, man.
Maybe a couple of years ago now.
Yeah, I reckon so. Man, it's flown by, but maybe.
So what's happened since? Fill me in.
Just a little bit might have happened. You've done a few shows, guys.
We have. We've been kind of just flat out touring, you know. Yeah. We've been over in the States a lot. We've been over in Europe a lot.
How were you received in the States, which is always the big question?
We were always pretty nervous when we first got there, but we love playing the States, you know, because the home of blues and soul and... In a way, the audience over there, they really know how to holler to blues, you know. So I always say, the Americans, when you play a bit of blues over there, you kind of get this, and Sam plays a little lick or something like that, people, you know, yell over the top of it and just get this kind of, they're very noisy
it's
bunch.
It's great,
you know?
Respect, isn't it? I always love finding out from musos that we have on the show who you used to listen to. Well, see, I still think you're young guys. Who did you used to listen to, or who did mum and dad used to play? I mean, I'm listening to Motown now, literally. How'd you get involved?
Well, our parents are all, avid record collectors. My mum was part of a record club when she was young.
Was she really?
So, yeah, she'd send off her records and come from Europe and the States and stuff like that. So there's a really broad influence for...
And Dave in there, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And Otis Redding as well.
Of course. And we like to say it's like basically the 60s and 70s music. You know, we call it like blues and soul a lot, but it's a lot of the kind of more rock and roll stuff from that era as well, and more of the psychedelic stuff. So this next record's kind of probably getting a little bit heavier, incorporating a little bit more of that kind of 70s, kind of maybe a bit more like the Allman Brothers and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's a big broad mixture of stuff from that era.
This is your second album. It's out today, Run Home Slow. Sounds good already. I've had a listen. When you get off and the lift doors open here at Triple M, you see all those album covers, which are all Roll Gold's classics from Nirvana's to Hot August Nights to all that stuff. Do you think maybe you could put more attention to your album covers?
Yeah, I love it.
Come on, we need a big tongue or something. We need a baby in a pool.
It's all a bit nice, isn't it? It's a bit nice, the old blues stuff.
It's on brand.
Guys, I saw a movie preview the other day. It just opened Palm Beach, and I saw the Teskey Brothers may have involved in film score. Is that right?
Involved writing some of the music for that. It was a lot of fun to work on.
Is that the first time you've done a movie score?
It's a cool thing how these things come along.
Is that Gudinski getting his mates from Brian Brown and Rachel Ward and,
It must be.
Board?
It's all connected. I tell you what, the music industry in Australia, one way or another, it's
how's
amazing.
How's Gudinski going? Is he
bothering
you?
He's great. No, he pops in all the time, you know. We love it to visit.
He's like our uncle.
You're drunk, uncle. I should point out, you've got a fan in the Hemsworths. Explain that to me. How did you cross paths with them?
You know, those Hemsworth boys are from, they're from Melbourne originally. Yeah. And basically, as far as Chris explains it to us, a friend of his from Melbourne just sent him a recording way back and then he's just been really into it, and then they live up in Byron Bayway, so they popped in.
Well, he said something actually on Instagram. He not only gave you guys an awesome plug, he's got a few followers apparently, he said that your mum was midwife at Liam's birth.
That's right. Whoa. Yeah.
Well, there's a nice
small
connection.
World, isn't it? So, mum was a midwife, so such a massive part of her life. And so she delivered over 1,000 babies.
Did she really?
And she's this kind of crazy sort of beacon in the midwifery.
That's
world,
right, in between belonging to a record club. So she's,
It's amazing, isn't it?
She's delivering babies, going home, listening to some cool licks.
Yeah. Hey, guys,
thanks for coming in and doing that for us live. We feel really privileged.
Anytime.
We're huge fans. And this second album out today, Run Home Slow.
Tickets go on sale this Monday at 9 a.m, then general on sale at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, the 7th of August. Sydney, Wollongong, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, Perth, Fremantle and Margaret River. All the tour details at teskeybrothers.com.
You love the road, boys.
We do.
And great band. Thanks to everybody who was playing today, too.
Oh, yeah, good
gang of you.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
1 hour to go, people, and then it's knock-off drinks. My favourite time of any given week. Oh,
you
baby.
Sound so excited.
It's my time to shine, Jane Kennedy.
That is true.
It's Mickey time.
It's Mickey time.
Hey, before there, though, we have loads to wade through, which will be a lot of fun. We've got the week in review, Jane, which will be highlights largely me, I'm guessing.
Well, I guess
a couple bits of you.
I do well. You're disappointing. Often.
All right, well, we'll bag that up and see what happens. Right. Around the grounds, are we doing it? We're going to go around the grounds?
We are. I've got a special note about a special donation that I want people to think about, donating your organs.
All right.
Have a think about that one.
I'm an organ donor.
You well, that's that. Good to hear.
If anyone
people
has
might
any
pass on you, but I love your spirit.
Shut up, Kennedy. Hey, we'll take your course, we'll take your tweets, but let's start at the top with this bloke.
Last time we caught up with Limo, he had some questionable tales from the Logies.
I saw Dr. Chris Brown at the actual ceremony early in the night. He walked out through the doors and he had a terrible limp. And I thought, God, what is wrong with Chris Brown? And then I looked a bit closer and there was Jane Kennedy
close to an ankle
as he was dragging her across the floor.
You don't understand our relationship. No one does. It's just only animal people.
In the meantime,
can
I was hanging out with Dr. Harry Cooper. Chugging him down at the bar.
Please welcome back our mate Limo.
Yeah.
There you go.
Great to be here.
You're lucky to be back, Jane. Really dirtied up after that last one.
Jane was not happy. Kicked me out the door after that.
Well, especially as we spent a great time together on Logie's Night. We're sort of the Three Musketeers for a while.
Well, hang on a second, Jane Kennedy.
What?
You need to declare what you said to me privately yesterday. That this bachelor is the new Dr. Chris Brown, and
I'm
Dr.
Sure
Chris
I said
Brown
it
is gone.
No,
really?
Waiter, what I said.
Check, please. He's in Dr. Harry Cooper territory.
Would you like me to say really what I said?
You said too
I
old.
I said, yeah. Oh my God. I said, this young guy is going, I don't think he's going to go back to being an astrophysicist. I think he's got talent, and I think he's the next Dr. Chris Brown,
the new Dr.
I
Chris
said.
Brown.
The next Dr. Chris Brown. And it's where you pick pretty, somebody who does another career and they jump into a career in television.
No, you're taking him out and whacked him.
Mick, are we talking to a potential intruder in the bachelor house here? In Jane Kennedy?
She won't be an intruder. She'll just climb the fence. She'll just climb the fence like a stalker.
She should have given him mace as he left.
Agnew. His name's Agnew, isn't it?
Why are you going him about his last name? It's a perfectly normal name.
Sounds like a viral condition. Come down with a case
you
of the Agnew.
You like him. He's good looking. He's funny. He's smart. Everything Mick doesn't like.
You're talking to number five. Number five.
Oh, Mickey. You made it to five. Who was number one on the radio? Hottest
Hunks? It doesn't matter.
Ray Hadley.
Ray Hadley.
And you're number five.
And Husey too.
Husey's number two.
Husey's played. I mean, Husey's a good-looking rooster, I think I've got him covered.
That's more like a police lineup. So it's Ray Hadley, Dave Hughes. Who's next?
Luke Darcy.
Luke Darcy and you.
Luke Darcy. We may as well get King Joffrey.
Then Marty Sheargold, then you.
Then Sheargold, then me.
That is five of the roughest scones I've ever come across in my life.
Hey, mate, that's why we're in radio. Now, were you like me up late last night watching sport? How are you going? The booing's not going to subside any time. You've got to take your medicine,
don't you? I don't care about the booing. I'm fine with the booing.
I'm sick of it.
No, because when it's vulnerable people, which I think Steve is,
no.
They are vulnerable.
He's not vulnerable.
Listen to him. He is.
No.
He nearly gave up cricket. No. He was just really, he
please.
Did. He went to surgery and he came out and he goes, maybe I will play.
He went the blubber to press conference. There's a big difference.
Look, he had a low moment there. But wasn't it? You know what I found interesting?
Hey, let's not forget, he cheated.
We know that.
He
and
cheated.
He's accepted that and
he's
paid his dues.
Of course he has. But he's going to get booed for a while.
And he's a champion player.
And he's going to get booed for a while.
And that's just the way it works. And they are the Sandpaper Three. I'm surprised no one's come up with a band name yet. The Sandpaper Three.
Yes.
Sounds like a Martin Short film.
No. he'll take his medicine. And you know what? I hope they keep booing him because he'll just dig in and keep knocking out big tons like that.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no. He's a
he can take it.
Can you remember those press conferences, though, when... Because the whole country was against the three of them.
God.
And Cameron Bancroft had his, he was the first, had a presser, cried. And as a nation, as one, we all went, he's just a young fella. Give him another chance. And then Steve Smith at his press conference cried. And as a nation, we went, he's clearly a good bloke. Winning got ahead of him. He lost track of where he was.
Yes.
And then Dave Warner had his press conference. And as a nation, we went, No, still a knob.
He didn't play it right, that press conference.
You can see the print. You can see his media agents going, handing him a baby, handing him the baby while he's crying.
That was one of the more awkward press conferences I've ever witnessed.
It really was. Spraying water in his eyes. Here's some tears for you, Dave.
So did you notice anything in the cricket?
Hey, you know what? So I love the Barmy Army. I thought the sandpaper.
Oh, you do like the Barmy Army?
I'm a fan of the Barmy Army.
It's pretty good-natured. Their songs are funny.
You know what? I was at Adelaide Oval.
6 hours of it can get a bit much. But
years. The Poms flogged us. I think it was 2009, test match at Adelaide Oval. And I love an Adelaide Oval test. Yeah. And we were getting absolutely belted on the ground. And a mum was walking around the concourse. This is when you could walk the concourse where you could be seen from everywhere. And she had a son with her. And it was late in the afternoon. And it was, I reckon he would have been 6 years old, dressed in full cricket gear, as a six-year-old does. So he's got pads that are coming up to his hips. He's carrying a bat. He's got the helmet on and gloves.
How cute.
He's dressed in white. And he walked around in front of the scoreboard at Adelaide Oval. And the Barmy Army, they start up straight away. They see him. And they just go, send him in, send him in, send him in. And then, so that goes on for a bit. And then they start, he's short, he's smart, he's a better bat than Clark. Send him in. Send him. And you can just see this kid, his eyes light up like it's actually going to happen.
Oh,
it was a glorious moment.
There's nothing like a bit of humour at the cricket. Yes. I've told the story before, but I do love it. I was at a test match, Pakistan, Australia, yes. And Shoaib Akhtar had just been done for chucking, for sucking. So anyway, I'm sitting down in the members about three rows back, and he's down at fine leg, right? And in front of him in the front row, about three 14-year-old kids, right? And so the ball's nicked down, and Shoaib Akhtar grabs it, and he pings it in just above the stumps, and this kid jumps up and goes, nice ball. And the entire stand just burst out laughing, including Shoaib Akhtar, which I thought was a pretty good moment.
That is very good gear for the young fella.
What do you think about the numbers and names on the back?
Oh, seriously, they're treating us like idiots. But how about this? Surely if you have the name, do you really need the number? Isn't it redundant if you have the name there?
And it's not on the scoreboard. It's not in anything. You can't refer to it.
And they look ridiculous. This is Test cricket. Can we just preserve a little bit of something?
We're better than that.
Yes.
More with Limo.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Friend of the show, Limo, as well.
Who's just swung by for a bit of a chat.
Hey, yeah, guys, I think I've identified the bravest or dumbest, you tell me, bloke in the world.
Who?
Mm-hmm. I've got quick. So El Chapo. 62 years of age.
As I call him, Mexican Boonie.
So, well, let's go with that. Mexican Boonie.
He's only 62.
He's only 62.
He's done a lot in his time.
He's been locked up for life plus 30 years. Now, I don't know if that means his corpse has got to hang around for 30 years after all, or how that works.
Yep.
Wow.
His wife, 29-year-old beauty queen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, she's 29. She's a beauty queen. He's in prison forever.
So you'd have a crack.
She's
you're suggesting get in there.
No, get a load of this. She's been in Venice and she's been posting on her Instagram romantic gondola rides and dinners.
Now, with who?
Fella.
With a miscellaneous bloke.
Is he depicted?
Well, he's not depicted, but she's posting the two glasses of wine and the gondolas and everything from Italy. Now, that bloke, do you reckon he might be a little edgy right now?
Or maybe he's already gone.
Maybe he doesn't know. Imagine them sitting down to dinner and go, so what did your ex do?
That's more like it.
Have you heard of El Chapo?
Mate. Dead man walking.
That's a bit of baggage to tell someone on a Tinder date.
It is indeed. He'd be jumping out of the gondola and swimming to the mainland,
I think. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. That's right. Well, that's El Chapo for you.
What is an acceptable amount of time for her to wait? Because she's a 29-year-old beauty queen.
No. There is no other person
she's
going to be with that woman. She's cooked.
Okay.
He can have a conjugal, can't he, El Chapo? Okay. Does he get a...
Look, he's got 10 billion.
That's what I would argue. I'll take the life and I'll take 30.
I just want to let you know, she may be his wife, but there's plenty on the side that man had. Don't worry about that.
You know what? I reckon he's got $10 billion that says, yes, he can have a conjugal.
Yeah, correct.
Even if he is in Colorado's Supermax.
Oh.
Hey, so sticking with law enforcement, guys, interesting story this week. Sergeant Jay Hollingsworth, you've probably never heard of him, from Georgia in the States, got shot in the stomach.
It's not an unusual story for the States.
On duty. In 2013,
so what?
Surgeons couldn't remove the bullet. So he's had a bullet in him for the last 6 years. But he's now standing...
Why can't they remove it?
Well, they say it was too tricky.
Much blubber.
But he's now getting lead poisoning from the bullet because it's been inside him.
Of course.
It's been inside him for 6 years.
Did you say too much blubber? Doctors. That's a terrible thing to say with blubber.
But it made me wonder. It made me wonder how much. So this guy's had a bullet inside him for 6 years.
Hang on, these doctors are terrible. That's just goofing off. What's happened? Too hard.
Couldn't be bothered.
Too hard. I tell you what, just carry it around for a while. You'll be good.
She'll be fine.
Here's an invoice.
So that's a police officer.
Mate, you've got one job. Remove the bullet from the policeman's body.
It's bullet left in you, isn't it, Lemo?
He walked away from the surgery, so the doctor kind of did that job, but they just left the bullet in.
I've heard of this when you, with the brain injury or something, they go, if we remove it, you could go cocoa bananas.
There's an ABC, and I looked this up, there's an ABC journalist called Adam Harvey got shot in the neck in the Philippines.
Oh, I remember
and
that.
It was too tricky, so they left it in. So he's got a bullet in his neck.
Okay, mate. So I was gonna stop
it
here.
It made me think. I wonder if there are people listening who've got a bullet inside them.
Oh, it's a bit niche.
Come on.
Okay.
Well, so
is that the view you have of our audience?
No, I'm just saying.
We've got a bunch of people sitting around who've been in some kind of gunfight. Shot in the ass, like while on safari or something.
Is if you've got you don't have a bullet inside you unless you've got a very good story attached to that.
Mate, can I ask you something?
I want to hear those stories.
Can I ask you something? So you said you were on the internet and you found out. The ABC journal. But do you just spend your time on the internet trying to work out who's been shot and still has a bullet in their body?
It's a good one to Google, and some people might have a bullet in them.
Yeah, okay.
Who that you know, Jane? What, one of your celebrity chef mates or someone from the Melbourne Football Club? Who would have a bullet?
Here it is.
You know how vast my friendship
you have, you have the most narrow strain of friends
rubbish.
I've ever
real
met.
Real posh.
Third generation wealthy. They come from real families.
Household
staff of eight.
I'm Tradie Janie through and through.
Tradie Janie. She'll remove a bullet too if required.
Who's taking a bullet? I've been shot in the ass with one of those salt guns. You know those?
An air gun?
No, man. Reginald Ansett used to have a property and it was a farm and he had a farmer who was notorious.
I can't believe you're having a crack at Jane. Mate, you're at Sir Reginald Ansett's farm.
No, so what he used to do, and it was notorious, he had to try and get to the barn and he had a farmer there who used to shoot all the kids with like a salt gun. Bang! It would hurt.
Are you saying an assault gun or assault?
Salt. So it's packed in. Well, it sprays it like gunpowder pellets.
Right.
So it hurts, trust me.
Have you still got salt in your bum?
I do. I do. But no, listen, it's like a pepper shaker down there.
All right.
No, listen to me. But so we used to all go, and it was like a rite of passage as a boy. You had to go to the farm and get to the barn. And you'd see him coming around. And what it was like, I can imagine being on the Western Front, but as you go through the barbed wire, there's just bits of boys' clothing, like hanging off and bits
this
of jackets. And bits of jackets. And we'd go in, and he'd know you're coming, and he'd come around his tractor and bang!
Bits of boys' clothing.
Bits of boys' clothing as they've tried to run through in fear.
He's like the Mr. McGregor in Peter Rabbit. 1-3-3-5-3. Have you got
a
bullet inside you?
We've got calls and we'll take them right after this.
You know what we used to do? It's like, you know, when surfers used to, if there's a shark in the water, they don't stop surfing, but they get eight of their mates to come down. That's what it was like going on the Ansett's property.
God. If you've got a bullet inside you, give us a ring now.
Is this the first time this has ever happened on Triple M?
Kennedy Malloy.
Okay. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Our week in review coming up soon. We've got Limo with us. This is Kennedy Malloy.
A couple of quick questions before we get into this. Mm-hmm. Why are you following old Chapo's 29-year-old?
Beauty queen. I'm not following her. I'm following El Chapo, and that was just a news story.
El Chapo's on Instagram.
He's not on Instagram. It was just a news story about El Chapo, and that pushed me towards his...
You're following his girlfriend on Instagram.
I'm not following his girlfriend.
I reckon he'd have that list. I reckon he'd have that list.
Don't put anything past him.
Don't think for a second El Chapo's not up to speed with what his 29-year-old wife's doing.
All right, now,
around the globe.
That guy who she's dating could well, in the near future, be housing a bullet.
Yes.
If El Chapo gets out. And this is your question that you brought to the table today.
That's right. I read a story about a guy, a police officer in the States, has had a bullet inside him for 6 years, and it made me think, well, how many people have got bullets inside them?
Surely not Triple M listeners. Surely not our crowd.
Well.
Maybe the ABC crowd or the, you know. All right, Darren. Have you been shot and do you still have a bullet in you? I think I know the answer, no.
How are you, Mick? No, I don't have the bullet in me. But I think me mate does.
Right.
Talk us through what happened.
Did you shoot him, did you? Or?
We got hold of some rat shot. And it's only supposed to go for about 15, 20 metres.
Yes.
And he was about 100 metres down the paddock.
Yep.
And I aimed the gun up about 20 metres above his head.
Hey, laugh it up, Darren.
And fired it. And he dropped to the ground, and I thought he was joking, and he wasn't joking. The worst thing is he pulled his pants down, and here's about 5 pellets stuck in his leg. And his mum was that, well, she was a really scary lady. Yeah. So here we are in the paddock, cutting rat shot out for pocket knife.
Hey, if it's any consolation, your physics was very good getting that trajectory right there.
Yes, you should be a sniper one day, Darren, when you go up. Good call. We used to do that as kids. We used to stand in a paddock with air rifles and shoot each other, but we'd have motorbike helmets on, and the only rules was not in the nuts. And so you'd stand, about to the other way, and you'd seriously drop someone in the leg. You'd drop someone, and then the parents would come out and go, "Stop it."
I reckon that's the go-to rule in about 100 games that boys play. Anywhere but not in the nuts.
I've often said, I'm wondering how you're still alive, boy, what you did as a child.
It's a load of fun. Chris is on the line. Chris, got a bullet inside you?
No, I don't have one either, but it's my dad.
Your dad does?
Yeah, so he was a policeman back in the late 70s and 80s, and he got shot. The surgeon said that it's too close to the artery to
You're joking.
So they've left it there. Now, does that bullet go off when he's going through airport security, or does he have to, is there any special ways he has to adjust his life? Or
No, he thought that, but luckily enough for him, he didn't have that problem.
Now, there is no, you were talking about lead poisoning or something like that. Yeah. There's nothing like that can happen. It can just, a piece of metal can stay in your body.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, because he's still alive now and going well.
Good for him.
You should go and reclaim it at the autopsy and keep it. You know, so you get a trinket from your dad, like a favourite watch or something.
Get the bullet.
Get the bullet that lay inside him all that time, Chris. Good man. Steve's on the line. Steve, been shot, got a bullet inside you.
No, not actually me. My brother was shot in the eye with a slug gun from about 3 metres away.
Oh, man. Right,
deliberately, or was it an accident? Or?
Yeah. Oh, as an accident, his friend didn't think it was loaded. And 37 years later, it's still there.
What's his eyesight like?
they couldn't operate because it was about a millimetre away from his optic nerve, so couldn't operate. Otherwise, he will have lost his eye.
Has he still got one eye, or?
No, he's got both eyes.
I can see with both.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a happy story. That's a good story. That's the most uplifting I've been shot and got a bullet in my body story I've ever heard.
Can I just tell you our switchboard's melted down?
Oh, it's nuts.
It's
gone crazy.
Ridiculous. Casey's next. Casey, you've got a really bizarre one. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is bizarre. So my ex's dad was an old coal miner down in Wollongong, but when he had some sinus problems when he was about 50, and he went to the doctor to get a scan, and there was a 22 slug in beyond his eye and his sinus, and he got shot in the head when he was 8. Same thing out in the paddock with some mates. He walked all his friends scattered, and he went home with one hand over his eye, blood everywhere, and it just healed and nothing. Didn't even know.
And the dad's gone, "Oh, hard enough, would you, son? Come on, you're milking it a bit."
Yeah, you're milking it.
He'll be right.
He forgot about it. He put it out of his mouth. Oh my God!
I think they left it there, so it's still there.
Wow. Good for him. Good call, Casey. Andrew's on the line. Andrew, been shot, have you?
Yeah, g'day crew. Happy Friday drinks.
Yep.
Look, about a million years ago in the dinosaur era, I was on one of the old Melbourne red trains coming home from somewhere. In those days, you could open the window, so I've got it open, luckily. Next thing, there's a bit of a tap on the upper lip. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, what's happened here? Anyway, for a couple of weeks, you know, it's still there. It's still a hard lump in the upper lip. And
what?
Playing away with it, and finally about a month later, I decide to go to the doctor, and she cuts it open and pulls out of the pellet.
It's almost like a pot shot through the train window.
Yeah, someone's taking pot shots at the train.
Hey, Andrew, that's a bit rough. There's a bit rough. You're coming home on the train and you're minding your own business.
You killed a train, Mick. I reckon it might have been you.
You're a bit rough.
Your behaviour, Mick.
It'd be pretty easy on a Melbourne train. Most of them are stationary these days. It wouldn't be a moving target. Give him a prize.
Yeah, you got tickets to go see Kiss as well, Andrew. They're coming to Australia in November. It's the end of the road world tour. Ticketek to buy tickets. You got two for you.
Hey, Limo.
Well done, Limo.
Hey, there you go.
I didn't think that had any legs. Okay, we'll be lucky to get one call. Look, we could do another break on this.
People are still calling through. Plenty of people have got a bullet in them.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
A lot of granddads.
But I just love hearing Mick go to caller saying, so, Steve, have you got a bullet inside you?
G'day, Limo.
Coming back, our week in review right after this.
A drive home that's always surprising. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Hey, it's been a great week. And by the way, if you missed any of the shows so far this week, including today's show, you can always catch up on the podcast. They go out every afternoon and you've got your weekend listening.
How would you do that if you wanted to? Jane?
Yes, you get the app, Mick, and an app is spelled A-double-P.
App.
Just look at your phone.
It's an application.
Just push it.
Let's go to Week in Review.
All right.
We started the week with two giants of the film industry, Sam Neill and Brian Brown. Brian's wife, Rachel Ward, directed their latest film together, Palm Beach.
I believe it was The Thornbirds that you first met, Rachel.
Did you fall in love on the set of The Thornbirds?
She did. Wait a minute, didn't she initially think you were gay?
Sam Neill, you are.
Okay. I took time.
And with Brian revealing he's an admirer of Mick's film Crackerjack.
Maybe we could do a sequel to Cocktail, you and me.
Crackercock.
Okay. I'll tell you what. What are we going to do?
Trademark that. I think it's out there. Don't Google it.
Jane was busy this week plotting the next move for the former MasterChef judges.
They'll end up doing a great travel show or something like that. They did a great holiday last year. Street food.
Boring.
No, it's not boring.
Together or they take
all together. They're
like
huge in India.
So like David Hasselhoff being huge in Germany.
Yes.
Sounds a bit lame.
Well, where are you big?
On the midriff.
Scotty Cam dropped by with details on the colourful past of the new block site.
Recently, you could hire the rooms by the hour.
I'm well aware. apparently.
Talk to me about this.
There's a bit of foot traffic in Grey Street area. It's your one-stop shop. And
there's a trench worn out in the footpath out the front in the concrete.
Oh, it was like a mounting yard, really, wasn't it?
A US study found that 28% of delivery drivers had tested their food orders. And Jane also has her suspicions.
Because I followed a meal delivery on my app, and it stopped at a suburban street for about 15 minutes. It finally arrives. There was two people in the cart, and as the window went down, a plume of smoke.
And no chips, I'm guessing.
They were very depleted.
Yeah. Even I can join the dots on that.
Yes.
I send my boys now down to the front door to get it. Oh, Daddy's 3 minutes away. Then they try and get visual from the balcony. Oh, Dad, I can see him.
And caller Jono had this encounter with a driver.
I ordered a burger. I was tracking him on the Uber app, and he's diverted away from my address and jumped on the M1 and pissed off down the Gold Coast.
Ross Noble shared this great idea for a movie.
It's a biopic of, I would say, possibly the greatest Australian ever. Hello, Frank Walker, National Guard. He's a mysterious figure.
I remember playing Frank Walker ads 20 years ago. I guarantee you it's a different Frank
it's
Walker.
It's not.
Scott's on the line.
I know he doesn't have a voice double.
Do you know Frank?
Yeah, I work for Frank.
Wouldn't he be happy for Ross Noble to play him in a biopic?
We got to meet the new bachelor, astrophysicist Matt Agnew.
The area of research that I focus on is trying to figure out where we should look to find another planet like Earth. I find that absolutely fascinating.
What's your favourite dwarf planet? What's your favourite dwarf planet?
Oh, Pluto, mate.
Pluto. Everyone likes Pluto.
Good one.
It's just ridiculous.
Could you find a planet?
We'll call it an Agnew.
An Agnew? That sounds like some kind of cyst.
Brutal. You know that last name of yours, Matt.
Adam Gilchrist joined us, and Mick recalled his epic innings at the 2007 World Cup in the Caribbean.
I was there. It was one of the incredible 100s in a World Cup final.
It's a wonderful tournament for people to go and harass the players in the team foyer on the morning of a game.
You didn't come and harass you, did
I did.
I
got off the boat.
I was trying to check into a hotel in St. Lucia where we had the semi-final, and I kid you not, from behind a pot plant. He was timing his run. He might have even been sleeping there, but I woke him up. He came over, and it was great to have that genuine Australian sort of smell and breath.
But the big news we were all eagerly awaiting this week, where did Mick place on the Take 5 hottest radio hunks behind Ray Hadley?
Coming in at number 5.
Top 5. Biggie.
Mick Malloy! Yeah. Number 4 was Marty Sheargold. 3's Luke Darcy. And number 2... Dave Husey.
Oh, you got beaten by Husey.
So it's a funny thing, is it? Is it one of those?
Ashley, wow. What do you think about Mick getting top five?
I'm pissed.
Well, where would you have me?
Up.
On top, which on is top. Exactly where Stay I like on. It.
Spiggy.
Hold it on, you guys.
A drive home that's pretty loose. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Just about cooked for the week. Here comes the weekend. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Who's it brought to you by?
Oh, the great people at HSV, the Series 2 Sports Cat, which you can find your dealer at hsv.com.au.
Okay, let me tell you this.
This is right, I'm wonderful.
Say you've been going to work Monday to Friday.
Yeah.
You're turning heads in the metropolitan area because you are behind the wheel of the Sports Cat. Which is the biggest and the best.
It's for the HSV.
It's the baddest engine in town. Yeah, so, great. Now imagine this. It gets to Friday. Say you've been toiling away with the tools all week.
That's
or doing whatever it is that you do to get by in this world. Now you're behind the wheel of Sports Cat.
Yeah.
Rest of the weekend.
Oh, party time.
Okay. Wooshka.
Like the way you're saying Sports Cat.
Waiter, check please. I can do whatever I want.
What's off-road, on-road, every road?
Off-road, on-road, under-road, side of road. You can do what you like. You can reverse your way up the Hume Highway going, hello, girls, dinner's on, look at me. And you will attract attention. Can I tell you?
Yeah.
It's a four-wheel drive.
It is.
It's got, under the bonnet, it's got big balls.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's nowhere you can't go.
You can even say that in front of me and I won't be offended.
Yeah.
It's got six-speed auto-transmission features.
It's got shift on the fly.
He's got
shift
on the
flat, hey.
As I said, big kahunis.
Yes.
And here it is. You can't. Where do you want to go? Pick a place in Australia. You want to do? Spin the globe. Point to somewhere.
Broome.
Broome. Gotcha. We'll drive there.
Yeah.
And we'll drive down the beach.
Yeah.
We'll harass the camels.
Right.
And we'll look at all the nudists.
And we'll watch all the nudists. I'll nude up in the back.
No, you won't.
And you can drive me through like it's some kind of float.
All right, we can put you in the back because it's got easy down tailgate. And we'll need all that strength to get you in it.
I'll need all that extra penis room.
Oh, please, all God, you did not say that.
No.
Did you really?
If I'm in the back of the ute.
Well, that's Australia's
most... a sports cat.
Yeah, that's it. Australia's most dynamic 4x4. HSV.com.au.
Can I tell you, genuinely... I'm in awe of this car.
So good.
If I was to fall in love with an inanimate object, what's it called, Jane?
It's called sexism, objectivism.
Objectivity.
Something like that.
Objectivism. Yeah. It would be a sports cat for me.
Oh, man.
I would go home, park it in the garage,
greedy.
Turn the lights down, put on some Barry White, and just give it a cuddle.
What about pony? My pony.
Pony.
A little bit of...
Over to pony. I'm heading out tonight with a sports cat.
Yeah.
Hello.
A little bit of...
Can it bounce up and down as it moves?
If you want to, get that I'm sure you can make that happen. All right, Jane, you've got an important announcement to make.
I have got an important announcement because it's Donate Life Week. This is very important because when you might cark it, you know what, your organs might be still in good nick and a lot of people need them and you can save so many lives. Everybody's attention is drawn this week to Donate Life. You've got to go to the website and just let people know, let your friends, family know you are happy to donate your organs. What are you going to do when you're dead?
Exactly.
You, might as well
you can't take them with you. No. You may as well do something for the
look, it's so important and it can help so many people.
I'm an organ donor.
Me too.
I want to put it out there. You're good on your day.
100%. I am one too. All
so
you need
you
to
go.
Do is register at donatelife.gov.au to be a donor. And won't you tell a buddy and do it as well so you get 2-for-1 offer. That
would
be
a
good idea.
What a
really
good idea.
Important.
Can I say this? There aren't many things I'm an opt-out of guy where you should all be in and then have to opt out. But this is one where I reckon you honestly go, if ever, because people don't donate because they don't get round to it.
That's
they couldn't be bothered filling out the paperwork.
And they probably would do it. They probably thought, yeah, of course I would do it, but they don't get round to doing it.
Well, could you think of a worse time to ask someone, can we borrow some organs, is when they are feeling terrible and there's...
At their lowest.
Their loved ones. So it's not the right time. Take care of it. Do your homework.
Brilliant.
Get it done. There's some decent people out there who could live a long, healthy life.
Yeah, that's right.
That's true.
Get
it's
involved.
Very important.
All right, around the grounds, Jane Kennedy.
Let's quickly go around the grounds. Very busy time.
I'll go Melbourne International Film Festival. Underway. It's a ripping film festival. Go and see some good Aussie flicks. Get behind them. We need it to keep
Look
the industry
out, Sydney.
Afloat.
I'm coming your way because it's the Sydney Dog Lovers Show, everybody, at the Sydney Showgrounds this Saturday and Sunday. How awesome.
Think we need some music. Could we need a music bed or something for this?
Yeah. Around the grounds? I'll find something for
you. Oh, you find something?
Yeah.
Yeah, something festive and something.
Oh, my God. What about does Adelaide Farmers Market suit that?
Have you got something that's
just
kind
something.
Of...
I've got 30 seconds left, guys.
Oh, okay. Adelaide Farmers Market.
Yeah,
get involved.
Perth.
Keanu Reeves party at Resp's One in honor of Keanu Reeves.
Brisbane chocolate starfish up and about.
Oh, look out.
Damien Leith in Hobart.
He'll be in the Masked Singer for sure.
He's at the Theatre Royal. Yeah.
The Newcastle Beer and Barbecue Festival. Hello. At Mount Gambier. Awesome. I love Mount Gambier. There's a great steakhouse there. The Barn.
Oh, Mount Gambier. Hello to all the people listening through Triple M Mount Gambier as well. We love you guys.
Who's on
Have
the morning?
A great weekend, everybody.
Next week, Denise Scott, Adam Shan, Georgie Gardner.
See you, idiots.
Dr. Chris Brown and more. Kennedy Malloy. Woo-hoo.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy, two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.